Hi, this is Alan Chartok, and we're here with Representative Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 20th District, and he's been here since this office since 2009. I've known him so long that we used to look out the window and see dinosaurs in the street.
Some of the really big ones, too. Yeah, I think the big one was the Tonkosaurus.
The Tonkosaurus.
You got it.
And the one, it was near the Tuchosaurus, and I was... I was watching some of the flying ones. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about the refugee issue. Mm-hmm. I've been reading articles and it would say some upstate cities, which have been losing a number of people because there's no jobs or whatever, young people, are welcoming immigrants from places like Syria. And they want to, but the Trump administration saying no. What do you make of this?
Well, I think the refugee ban was tremendously flawed. And it speaks to the need to have whomever is sitting in the White House to reach to all of the strength of professionals who deal with these issues so that you're well advised and not flying out there with a plan that doesn't pass the test. And in this case, I think our intelligence community and our Foreign Service Corps and law enforcement in general have said, you know, you have to look at certain dynamics here. And the result was, I think, a total recruitment tool for ISIS, because you blatantly indicated to the world community that if you're Muslim, need not apply. You're not going to enter into this country. And that religious discrimination is something that really alarmed our allied friends, and that really scarred what our whole democracy is about, where we're open to the diversity, no matter what your faith, if you practice a faith or not, and what no matter ethnicity, race, or whatever. So it was a really drastic experience. I know that we receive calls, and of course I'm not going to share names and stuff, but we've received calls, and people were in distress. Republican colleagues were talking about, you know, elements in their community, great groups and blocks of ethnic and creed-related individuals who were impacted by this. And they were just, like, disturbed by all the work that had to be done to help these folks. So, you know, I think I'm hoping that a lesson was learned here. I'm, by the way, on a bill that would deny funds for this ban and rule it void.
Do you think Ryan will let that bill come up? Never.
Who knows? It's like there, you know, to watch these tremendously high-profile issues go forward and to label this infant's presidency that way is really disturbing.
Okay, I want to talk to you about something that you brought up, religious intolerance. I'm Jewish, and so therefore I want to ask you this question, although I would want to ask it to you no matter what religion I was. You know, Donald Trump took great exception when asked about anti-Semitism in the United States. It seemed to many of us he could have just went whop, whop, and said it's a terrible thing.
Right.
He didn't do that until the day we're speaking, today. He must have gotten tremendous backlash on mm-hmm. that. I wonder what you're thinking.
Well, you know, I watched the press conference where the gentleman who reports for the Jewish periodical got up to ask what was a very straightforward question. We've received concerns, phone calls with grave concern about the local Jewish community center. And, you know, we have written to the White House, haven't received an answer yet because I'm certain they're getting tons of mail and still organizing. But, you know, if people feel at risk, if you can lose membership over this, it's not a good thing. And basically, the core essence of attacking people in what would be a hate crime is unacceptable. So we want to get to the core of it. And when you ask that question at a press conference, it's a basic, wholesome question. And all you needed to say was, look, it's unacceptable. We're on it. We're going to put the best forces onto it so we can get quick and speedy results here that are thorough. You know,
what do you think his motives are? I mean,
I have no idea. I've tried to predict some of the dynamics here, and I'm always wrong. You know, the same is true. We talked about the refugees, right?
Yeah.
If he would resort to the facts, the track record there of these seven nations that President Trump included in his ban, the refugees from those nations, according to a Cato Institute measurement, now
a conservative institute,
you're right, yeah, is that zero refugees that have been entered through this vetting process have not caused any disruption or committed any heinous crime. So, and the vetting on this is tremendously aggressive. Many agencies, many years worth per refugee. And we have to remember that these refugees are the victims of our enemies.
Okay, so let me give you a theory, Paul Tucker.
Sure. You're always filled with theory.
I have theories, yes. It's true, and I broke my ankle, so I'm entitled to them. So here's the deal. There are those people who think that the Trump base constituency, the core constituency, or as Hillary Clinton perhaps unfortunately once referred to them as the basket of deplorables, have within those ranks a certain amount, not everybody, of course, but a certain amount of anti-Semitic people. And when you get a guy like Trump standing up to memorialize the Holocaust and not mentioning the word Jews dying in the Holocaust, it does seem to be extraordinary. Not because he can claim that his son-in-law and his daughter are Jewish, but because he knows full well that he don't want to tick off the people in that basket.
Well, if that's the case, it's regrettable, and you know I think one of the basic principles here or the basic givens is that as president of the United States, as a leader of the free world, you set a tone. People look at you, they listen to you, and your actions mean a whole lot.
And you think that's why, for example, we're seeing these outbreaks of anti-Semitism in
hate
community
crimes,
centers?
Yes. Hate crimes are up quite a bit, they're saying, from year to year.
And you think that's because, let me just get this straight, mm-hmm. You think that's because the wrong tone is being set by Trump?
I think that it gives license to people to speak out in rather crude fashion and in dismissive tone. And I find that regrettable. It in a nation that has prided itself on, you know, diversity, a mosaic that is richer than any in the world. It's sad.
It really is extraordinary to me that this would be happening. I still wake up in the morning hitting myself on the side of my head saying, how could this, in this country, how could this have happened? We got a minute. How could it have happened?
I think that, you know, maybe the instability of different home life situations, you know, whether you keep your job, maybe you're going to lose a job, your kids can't find a job, they have college loans to pay off. There might have been angst, anger, fear, concern. I understand those emotions, but he may I believe as a candidate, he tapped into those emotions and put his face on it before anybody. And that connected.
His polling numbers are going down extraordinarily. You have Republican colleagues. My theory is that at the point at which they're so low, let's say 20% approval rating, those Republican congressmen are going to try to save themselves.
Yeah, it could cause a whole lot of disarray. So, I think the next few months are going to be very interesting as we move toward a budget or a continuing resolution. What will be in and what will be out of that document is going to be very telling.
Paul Tunko, of course, is a congressman from New York's 20th District, a good friend of mine, a good friend of this radio station, and we thank you for being here, Paul.
My pleasure always.